The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Grandkids, welcome to another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. This is your fine friend Kevin, and with me this week, almost as usual, Dusty Gubink. How you doing, Dusty?
Well, I'm Kevin's fine friend, so I'm your fine friend's fine friend. So, doing all right, I guess. Kinda, ish.
Well, I got done with a fun day. Crazy intern today was selling, or not crazy intern, idiot intern. If I, because I believe that may be part of the entertainment package coming to Stunt Granny. if you follow my Twitter account at DeFrango11, you get to follow the exploits of. A person in my office who is not particularly smart. if you have not, for anyone that doesn't follow. Well, he was all set today to sell paintings to a gallery downtown.
His own personal paintings?
Yes.
Okay.
And
so far.
Yeah, he is, he has gumdrops dancing in his head that he is going to sell these puppies for $900 a piece.
Yeah, right, he's Jackson Pollock over here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to make it even better, we have this thing, first Saturday of every month. They have what's called a gallery hop, and he went down to it, and that's how he met the guy.
Yeah.
And the artist, well, there's an artist that runs the gallery, and he does his own work, I guess. And I don't know how he still got the invitation, but he started ripping on the guy's work.
Okay.
I was just like, oh, my gosh. So, but he was a nervous ball of everything today because he was he thinks that all of his ills in his life will be solved with monetary funds.
Right. We know how well that works out for people, you know.
Yeah, it is not going to, even if he gets the $900, it is not going to do what he thinks it's going to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at all the people, you know, who win the lottery and squander their money, you know. It's not how much money you got, it's what you got upstairs. And as his name suggests, that would be not a whole lot.
Yeah, no, he does not. So that was definitely a highlight of my day. Plus, he left the office early to go talk to the art dealer about hanging his work up. So,
well, that's always good. Get him out of there. Did you see any of his work? Has he shown you his artistry?
He brought in a couple of paintings, and they're okay.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't really rip on them, but he is kind of scatterbrained, and you can definitely tell that in his paintings. Like, there isn't any type of, there's a lot of stuff going on, but never any particularly well thought out uniform idea behind it.
Gotcha. And that'll hurt you.
It was funny because he was showing us some of the guy's work. He goes, "Oh, it's just a circle with a line through it." And then we looked at the guy's work, and I'm like, "Man, the guy has like four shades of red in there. Like
right.
Everything's kind of arranged. It's not just like a circle, perfect circle, and a straight up and down line."
Right.
I'm like,
obviously, there's something else going on. And if that's all you see is a circle with a line through it, then you have no perception whatsoever. I don't even need to see the painting to know that he was probably doing something with the colors and the contrast and whatever.
And
if
it was.
If you can't see that, then you're kind of not cut out to be an artist. Really?
Yeah, exactly. It's the craziest thing. It's like, I was like, how did you miss that? Like, what?
Yeah.
It's incredible. So yeah, on multiple levels, this whole thing is very amusing.
There's always new layers to this kid. I kind of wish I worked with somebody like that.
One of my coworkers and I, the one that I call the Fire Lord, we're seriously considering doing a book, and he's already started doing some cartoons.
Okay.
So we think we're going to put together like a proverb/cartoon book.
Nice.
Called the Wit and Wisdom of Idiot Intern.
Oh, that's amazing. I would pay money for that.
Yes, so we are seriously considering. We already have a top 20 statements for the first 6 months of the year.
Okay.
We will be adding another 20 come the second 6 months of the year.
Beautiful.
That's about that for that topic, I think, for the time being.
Okay.
You know, there are some idiots that happen to be running TNA.
Really? Whoa.
Oh, man. And I'll tell you what. There couldn't have been a bigger mistake to me, and they're Bound for Glory. They're WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So to say, of their season.
Yeah.
The big reveal of the leader of Aces and Eights.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody needs a drum roll, but I'm going to mention it anyway. It's D-Von. How many other people would you have put in there aside from D-Von?
Everybody in the world? I mean, this was really like the gobbledygooker at the Survivor Series, you know? Like
it
had a chance to be something important, and then it was just lame crap, you know? And obviously the gobbledygooker is much worse because it's probably the worst thing ever in wrestling history, but this was just such a lead balloon, you know? Just such a wasted opportunity for TNA, a company that specializes in mistakes.
I've been talking to Jeremy about the possibilities over the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he put down a decent idea that I actually wouldn't be nearly as offended by. Which would be Eric Bischoff is a bit of a biker.
Yeah.
So it would have made sense that he would have hired a bunch of thugs to get back at Hulk Hogan and everybody.
Makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense.
They have him there. Like I am not the greatest Eric Bischoff fan.
No, not at all.
that make, at least in the concept of making sense.
Right,
it's like,
which I believe an angle this important to the company should make sense at every turn. And D-Von just doesn't.
Yeah, no, because Bully Ray, like this, you can't even, he's really turned babyface.
Yep.
Within the last month, maybe, like, in this build-up, actually, to Bound for Glory, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you make his former partner the heel, and you kind of switch the dynamic, but, like,
right.
Everybody, and it made sense, too, that everybody wasn't buying Bubba Ray, or Bully Ray, as the solution to the who to choose as a partner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thing. It's just like, okay, that means you're still saying his status as a full-fledged babyface is still on hold because the good guys in charge can't trust them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, like, the D-Von thing might have worked if they had set him up better
right.
as a babyface.
Right, but they didn't. It's
nope.
very tenuous, and D-Von just seems pasted into it. And I don't know, man. It's just another mistake in a long line of mistakes for TNA. And I've kind of given up a long time ago being frustrated about it. That's just what they're going to do. Whatever the wrong decision is, that's what they're going to do. So...
Yeah, no, they were chock full of wrong decisions on this pay-per-view. Cause I'm just looking through it. Like I just remember because my internet service went down, so since I couldn't do a blog about it, I'm like, oh fuck it, I'm not getting the pay-per-view.
Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm.
They started it off, just like from a booking perspective, like I was looking through it, it's a title match.
Yep.
And then street fight between the longest running feud on your roster.
The real main event, by the way. Mm-hmm. Third.
Yeah, and it was three, because, I mean, I didn't even need to watch this thing, like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my gosh, you start off with three, really, at least, it sounds like RVD was finally entertaining, or at least the crowd was really behind them, so there's something to that, and I like, and I'm probably at least a little partial, I like that Zema Ion, since he was in Pro Wrestling Ohio / Prime Wrestling, I don't think he was actually
I love
in
that
there.
Guy. Prime. I absolutely love that guy.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm sure that was a solid match. And Joe and Magnus, I would imagine, and from the description, sounds like an okay match. And then, yeah, you have the real main event third, and then, like, everything after that, oh, my gosh, like, I can see wanting
to
take a
breather.
To go from
that to Al Snow is just ridiculous. Talk about lead balloon. Oh my god.
And then just as another option as to who's leading aces and eights.
Yeah.
Matt Morgan comes in and interferes in the Al Snow versus Joey Ryan match.
Bingo.
Matt.
Yep.
Morgan would have been an outstanding leader of aces and eights.
Was my prediction.
Because
I knew he was coming back. I didn't know in what role, so I thought that would make perfect sense. But instead, they're going to waste him again. Because I don't even know why, man. Another thing I've given up on, Matt Morgan should be a fucking superstar in this business. Is he a prick behind the scenes? Did he kill somebody? What's happening with him?
Yeah, no, and it's kind of interesting. Like, after him coming back, you know, the whole time I never really bought his going to the WWE tweets. Like, to me, it just seemed like there was something off about the whole thing.
Okay.
Oh, shit, what was my point?
It was a poker match for him to make more money, basically.
Yeah, and it would be interesting. Oh, I guess that's what it was. It'd be interesting to know if he really took a look at the WWE's hand in that poker match.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if he was, because I don't know any reason why they wouldn't. They'd do it. I just think that they'd really do a good job with him. You know, he seems like, I'm surprised they let him go the first time. And at this point, to me, it's just like, you're going to get this right the second time around, right?
Right. I'm really intrigued by that. Sidebar here.
Okay.
How many people in TNA, they complain about TNA, and they complain about TNA, and they're not being used right, and the booking sucks, and I hate being in TNA. Samoa Joe, both Dudleys, Matt Morgan. And then when their contract comes up, they re-sign with TNA. I don't understand.
Yeah, no, I don't get it either. I mean, if the Dudleys really want some money, and the fact that the WWE is sort of pushing the tag team division.
Exactly.
They honestly could be the glue that holds that whole division together.
They'd be figured in a great spot. They'd get good paychecks. They'd be featured every week. What's the downside?
Yeah, no, the only thing that I'm going to say is I would at least give Bully Ray a pass on that one.
He probably was more comfortable because he's getting a really good push. He's really breathing new life into his career. And he felt like TNA was the safer bet to continue the upstream momentum. And Devon probably thought he was going to leave, but then when he saw Bubba re-sign, he was like, oh, shit, that's my gravy train. So, that's my take on it anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would think that would make a great deal of sense. I mean, Devon is the afterthought in that whole situation.
Absolutely.
And although I thought he was in a pretty decent spot, and I don't know why he wasn't happy about that, I guess.
Yeah, but he seemed not happy. Can
yeah.
Can you agree on that?
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's just like, this is your spot, dude. I'm sorry, but you're just not bigger than that. And he hasn't done anything to reinvent himself Bully Ray has.
Exactly.
I even think we talked about it last week about how stagnant some of the characters get. I mean, Bully Ray is, you know, one of those guys that hasn't been stagnant.
Yep.
Good for him.
He's a really smart guy. He's reinvented himself at a time when he could have just faded away into irrelevant. So, good on him, really, because I'm really enjoying the character.
Oh yeah, he's definitely a blast.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if there's anything else really that's connected with that whole thing that's I think we tied in about all the good possibilities. I mean, is there any other good possibility that you'd have? I mean, aside from Bischoff or Morgan there?
Well, like I said, Morgan was my pick, and the Bischoff thing would have been brilliant, actually. You know, those are probably the two best bets, unless it was Hogan, which would have been a disaster also.
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
Yeah. Well, speaking of Hogan and disaster, I mean, come on.
Segway!
That was just put on a tee.
I'm getting better at this whole segue thing, you know.
Oh, man. Hulk Hogan is suing his good old friend, Bubba the Love Sponge, for $100 million, along with also suing Gawker for releasing parts of the video for $100 million.
Right.
Do you have, do you think he has a tripod to stand on?
No, I don't. But isn't it sad when friends go at it? I thought that friendship was going to last until the end of time, so...
Yeah, so did I. It's really kind of, this one's, you know, I've got to admit, most of the time just like, ugh, again. But
yeah.
This one, I've got to admit, I'm paying attention to. Like, the whole Linda and Hulk thing, I could have given a shit less. Like, you couldn't see that thing coming a mile away.
Yep.
But this one, I thought that they were going to be BFFs for the remainder of Hogan's useful days.
I know Bubba's a friend of Stern, or used to be at least, and they'd always talk about how he was really kind of into wife swapping and stuff. So Bubba's he's an out there guy, and really nothing with him would surprise me, you know?
Okay.
One of those type of guys. So.
Yeah, I did not know that.
So I guess what I'm implying is he's probably banged Linda a couple times. I guess is my point in that whole thing.
Yikes. Yeah, that whole mansion, yowzers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Well, do you think he might get any repercussions from Gawker from actually showing the videotape?
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Really, it's just a publicity kind of thing, you know, obviously. And Hogan's keeping his name in there. And he's, you know, he's the victim in this whole thing. And that's what he's trying to paint the picture of. I have no idea how it's going to turn out, because everything with him, the social media world is just out of control. I always feel like I'm 150 years old when you get all these sites like Gawker posting pictures of this and that, you know. Like you see Greg Oden's penis or something, you know? And that's news now. Even though 20 years ago it wouldn't be. So I have no idea how to wrap my mind around all of this, you know? This is one of those cases where I feel like time has passed me by.
Oh, man. You are way too young for time to have passed you by.
Well, I know, but whatever. All these sex tapes make me really skeeved out.
Yeah. No, as I mentioned last week, I can now not unsee that, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's for that very reason that I'm avoiding seeing it, because I don't need to unsee it. I know it exists, and that's good enough for me, you know?
Yeah.
That's funny.
And the dumbest of dumb questions, do you think Hogan was actually in on the release?
It wouldn't surprise me at all. That's the conspiracy theorist in me coming out, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, no, that would be kind of fun if they end up. Well, no, I think he's pretty much screwed now that he's filed a lawsuit, isn't he?
Now that what?
Now that he's filed a lawsuit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, unless he just decides to drop it for both of them for some reason, he could get into Dutch if this was a work and he filed something with the courts.
Yeah, we wouldn't want him to be exposed.
Woo! Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I can really do any more on that one because I just, again, I'm sure I'll pay attention here, but I don't. In the end, I don't really care what happens.
No, that's the bottom line. I'm thinking way too much about it, trying to wrap my head around it, but ultimately, yeah, I just don't give a shit. That's great. You're exactly right.
Yep. I'll follow it to hopefully make some... Oh, my gosh. How did I not come up with a cartoon for that? Okay, anyhow. That's for later. Well, another man who definitely taped himself or had someone else tape him doing stupid shit was Jeff Hardy.
Yes, indeed.
And he has knocked off the stupid shit on tape, which is probably a smart maneuver. And he now is the TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
Woo!
What what are your thoughts on them giving him the strap here?
More stupidity from TNA. Honestly, you want your world champion to be somebody you can control, you know?
Right.
Like, I was just talking about this with somebody, another like-minded geek about Survivor, and if you're forming an alliance on Survivor, you want it to be people you can control and predict, you know, so you have a modicum of power in your alliance.
Uh-huh.
If you're running a wrestling company, you want the face of your company to be somebody you can control and predict, you know? Not a guy who's
right.
going to do a bunch of drugs and taser a woman on tape, you know? Not exactly instilling confidence in me as the face
so
of the company.
So you don't buy the reform story?
You are what you always do. Is my principle. So.
Yep, and I mean, there's no way to check on that at the current moment. If you're not getting in trouble, you can stay under the radar even if you're doing it.
Yeah, actually, Matt has stayed under the radar lately. Proud of him for that.
No. Yeah, no, and I, because I definitely missed this week's episode of Ring of Honor because I had to have my DVR box replaced.
Sure, right.
But I do believe he showed up the last pay-per-view there for those schmucks.
Yeah.
So that's about where he belongs at this point.
That's another sign that Cornette didn't really have that much power, because I don't think Cornette would ever work with Matt Hardy. Lest you all believe that ROH is going to turn itself around suddenly because Cornette's gone. You know?
Now that they have Matt Hardy on board, they've got everything that they need to turn into it.
Everything's looking up for ROH! Woo! Oh. Good Lord.
Yep. Is there any problem, I guess, with it, to me, I guess what the bigger problem is that Austin Aries, if they really wanted to nail him down as a super duper star, you have him pull this one out.
He needs to beat guys like Hardy. Absolutely. Great point. To cement his status as someone you take seriously, he's got to beat Hardy in the middle of that ring. And the fact that he can't do it means he's right back down to mid-card irrelevant. And the title reign didn't mean shit. Just like WWE did with Jack Swagger, you know, for example. Right on back down the card, like a nobody, you know, the minute he lost the belt.
Yes, he was. That's a perfect analogy. It'll be interesting to see if Aries goes that way, or if they can find some way to keep him involved in the the scene there.
Again, the real main event is Storm versus Rude. So, the only way Aries could prove he deserves the throne is to beat Hardy and move on and beat somebody else of the same stature. Keep beating those people. And TNA just failed again. This is the RIP TNA show.
Yeah,
I'm trying very hard to be level-headed and present my opinions in a normal way instead of yelling and screaming, but TNA's a disaster. In so many ways.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm trying to think, that was the thought that crossed my head. That's what TNA thinks of their own, their homegrown talent, really.
Right.
So they put the co-main event in the number three spot.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
the former WWE guy winning the title, that's the main event, you know?
Yep. Yep.
Isn't that what killed WCW? Over-reliance on the old dinosaur past stars? I'm not saying Hardy's an old dinosaur, but it's the reliance on WWE guys all over again.
Yeah, no, it's a little crazy to me that they're doing that.
Yep.
And then, I would definitely say that Austin Aries honed most of his craft in Ring of Honor.
Sure.
He still is at least moving up somewhat to be involved with TNA.
Right. He's positioning himself perfectly. I hope he gets a WWE shot at some point. He wouldn't be a super-duper star there, but, he could do something like when The Miz was in his heyday. You know, he could occupy that kind of space, so.
No. Gotcha. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that would be a pretty solid spot for him.
Sure.
And then, oh, yeah, of course. Now, I was kind of at least going a different route, but yeah, I mean, that's it. Aries beat, what's his name? Bobby Roode for the belt. So, I mean, they shoved that back there. So it's just like Roode's kind of back a couple of pegs. So, I mean, that definitely doesn't help Aries at all.
Right. Exactly. So who knows where they're going with that? I'd be interested to see, but chances are it's back down to irrelevant. He's going to be feuding with, Rob Van Dam type people.
Oh, man. Just that would just really be a shame they've put in a pretty good effort, really, to me, up to this point with him. So to see him get kicked back down like that would be really disappointing.
It'd be sad, but it'd be predictable, you know? So.
Yep.
Well, what else do you got on the docket?
What is this? Oh, it's a bunch of hooey. It just kicked me out of, oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, my God. Kevin,
there we go.
Bottom of the seventh, Tigers up 2-0.
For some reason or another, Google Drive signed me out for no good reason.
Okay.
And I couldn't remember what the next topic was. And I guess speaking of homegrown guys, I'll try to stretch for a segue now.
Nice.
Ryback gets the WWE title shot at Hell in a Cell.
Absolutely.
Good move for the WWE.
I really see a lot of potential in Ryback. And I was thinking about writing a column about it. Give him the belt and see where that takes you. That's what I would do.
And they definitely seem to be in a little bit of a panicky Pete state right now.
Mm-hmm. It's a time of transition. Vince has got his panties all in a bundle. And I just think Ryback is the right choice right now. And it's predictable Vince behavior anyway. When in doubt, go with the big tough guy, you know, to lead the company.
Yeah, no, it would certainly, because that's one of those things where it's kind of funny because as internet folk, it seems to happen on a somewhat regular basis. Because I think I made fun of it. Well, I don't know when it was, but it's just like when the WWE finally makes a new guy, and not to say that they really have yet, we end up complaining half the time that they got there too quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, does it really matter if it helps freshen things up a little bit?
No, not at all.
Oh, man.
Some mythological he didn't earn his spot thing that just needs to go away. You earn the spot if you're given it and you do well with it, you know? Doesn't matter if you've been there 10 years or 10 minutes.
It would be really interesting to give him the strap. I mean, I guess I didn't even think about that possibility. Like, I was already assuming that CM Punk would win that one, to be honest with you.
I really want them to give it to Ryback and see what happens. I think they're in a no-lose position. With a high upside. I mean... I don't want to be, like, overestimating things, but I think Ryback's upside is right near the Goldberg kind of side, you know? So why not try to tap into it?
And I don't know what it is. His character still seems a little off, but, I mean, when he was just Skip Sheffield, everything seemed pretty awesome, but you know what?
Yep.
The crowd is so much more into it.
Yeah, he's really picking up steam. Mm-hmm.
It would be kind of hard to argue with it. I mean, the only two guys getting that type of a reaction to me right now are Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you put the belt on him, and you have him be the dominant champion. And then, so Punk doesn't slide way down Austin Aries style, but he just moves a step down. And then your mid-card and your upper mid-card is really good, and you have a bunch of really good matches, and then Ryback's match. So it's like a Hogan pay-per-view formula. And I got no problem with that, you know? it's a change of pace from what things were, and Vince obviously likes that formula. And, you know, hey, Ryback is catching steam, so why not strike while the iron's hot?
Yeah, no, I, like I said, I did not even think about that possibility. The more you talk about it, the more I liked it, because I was just assuming that, you know, Punk wins because Ryback got put in there at the last minute.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to lose to The Rock there at the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? They really could turn things on their head and
yep.
and go with it there.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
you are...
absolutely. I'd be pitching at every booking meeting, you know? I'd be a broken record about it, because if you want real change, there it is, motherfuckers. You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Punk has more than solidified his spot.
Yeah, he'd be losing nothing by losing the title.
Yeah.
It's that old
Ric
Flair cliche, you know? Ric Flair, like, basically, the only time Ric Flair won a match was to win the title, and then he lost every other time. And it didn't fucking matter, because he was so great. And I think Punk is, you know, obviously lesser than that, but the equivalent thereof, you know?
One loss
is going to mean shit.
I mean, the fact that he's... It's been so hard to get anyone to cheer unanimously one way or the other, but with adding Heyman, he's really kind of gotten himself into the department of nobody likes me, which
yep.
is a pretty amazing feat in these days.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess I was like, well, I don't know, maybe he could be something like Flair, but I'm like, well, why don't you say that? He's got a long, he needs to have a long career ahead of him.
Right. He's nowhere near Flair, but he's essentially the WWE equivalent. Everybody's
yeah.
lesser than their predecessors at this point. John Cena is no Hulk Hogan, you know, and CM Punk is no Ric Flair. But, you know, that's the best they got to work with. So.
Yep. Wow. Oh, man. I think that's all I got about that. But the whole predecessor got me thinking on our last topic here.
Oh.
Which is Harley Race and Vader possibly getting into a little dispute over the weekend at some type of a convention out there in New Jersey.
Yeah. Apparently it's been overblown, which, go figure, on the internet, you know. What do you mean everything you read isn't true? But it was a fun story. Because the original story had Race in a motorized scooter, like one of those hover-rounds or something. So that's an excellent visual. And,
yeah, no, that would have been pretty interesting. I guess, considering he has a couple of bad knees, I don't know why maybe he wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But me and Jeremy were talking about this yesterday, and you got to believe Race is one of the five or so toughest guys in wrestling history, right? Like, he's just a tough guy.
Yeah, no, he's always seemed like one of those guys that you really didn't want to screw around with.
Right. Whereas Vader is basically a paper tiger. I mean, he got punked out by Paul Orndorff, and it wouldn't surprise me if he got punked out by a 70-something-year-old Race, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, I think that was the other thing I was a little surprised by. I don't know why. Because the 69-year-old. Like, I was actually a little surprised that Harley Race was only 69.
Yeah, he's been around forever in the day.
You know, I'm like, oh my, and I didn't even think about it until this moment. I'm like, he's the same age as my dad.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
Oh, man, I always thought of Harley Race as just, like, really old when I was watching him as a kid. But, he just was
not all that old. You watch, like, WrestleMania 3, and he can barely move, you know? And it's, like, 1987. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I always loved the anchor tattoo. Oh, man. That's pretty crazy. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, it would have been funny if this, well, one way or the other, the story is still kind of funny.
Yeah.
Vader still being that kind of bent out of shape about a backslap by Harley Race is still kind of impressive for a 69-year-old to be pulling off.
It is.
So that would definitely lend a helping hand to the whole he's got to be one of the toughest guys ever. Like, if you're still tough when you're 70 years old.
Yeah.
I don't think my dad's going to out tough guy anybody right now.
No. Yeah. The list I came up with was Harley Race, Bruiser Brody, Dr. Death Steve Williams, Meng, and God, who was the fifth? Not sure if I can remember who the fifth one was. But anyway, Race was definitely in there as one of the biggest badasses. So.
Oh, you're not going to go with, what's his name? Bart Gunn, since he knocked out Dr. Death?
No, I don't think I am. As shocking as that is.
Oh, yeah, like, I can't believe that that Bart Gunn would not cross your lips.
Well, I made the list and I checked it twice, but Bart Gunn was naughty, so, sorry.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, I guess I might have to squeeze Brock Lesnar on there somewhere.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Shamrock? I don't know.
Shamrock. He still has one of my favorite matches ever.
What's that?
I just remember when he wrestled Jeff Jarrett and he was in a straitjacket.
Yeah.
I was really impressed that he could essentially wrestled what looked like more than a realistic match. Well, it looked like a realistic match.
Mm-hmm.
Without his hands. I was like, how the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty incredible. The disappointing thing about Shamrock to me was always that when he was in USC, he cut these amazing promos. And then in WWF, he could never do it.
No. Yeah, no, I didn't watch the UFC all that much at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The couple of times I've heard him since then, it's kind of cracked me up. Like, when he's, like, not in the WWE, I'm like, where the hell was this guy?
Yes, exactly. So he really missed his chance. He could have been something special, you know?
Just as a
footnote in history. He never quite clicked in that point.
He could have fallen under the Scott Steiner, I never know what he's going to say category.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it would
That's
have been
a perfect
outstanding.
Example. Yeah. Yeah, he could have totally been WWF Scott Steiner. That would have been great.
Oh, well, yeah, like you said, missed opportunity.
Yep.
Oh man. Well, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't even think on a on a top five there. So I don't know if but I do like the Dr. Death is a good one. And who were the other ones aside from those two?
Well, how about we turn it into a Mount Rushmore topic? Mount Rushmore tough guys. I would say Harley Race, Dr. Death, Meng, and Well, while I'm thinking, what's yours?
Well, yeah, I like the I like the first two with Race and Dr. Death, because everyone always sold that, and he always oh yeah, Bruiser Brody was the other one. I would go with him, but I've got to admit I have not ever seen a match of his, so I'm gonna pass on that one.
Okay.
You know, legendary as he is, I've never seen anything.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I kind of enjoy the Meng, but I just feel like there's somebody else that should come out of this thing that I'm not thinking of right now.
I'll tell you, the reason I pick Meng is because every other tough guy in wrestling history, when you ask them who the toughest guy ever is, they all say Meng.
Oh, really?
Any tough guy you ask, or any wannabe tough guy, or anybody who could possibly be conceived as a tough guy, they all tell you Meng. So I take that to the bank, you know?
Gotcha.
He has that kind of respect, so...
Oh shit! I just had it and it I lost it.
Well, I guess you could say Severn, maybe Shamrock, possibly.
Yeah,
no,
I was, it was another just another another amateur wrestler, and it's completely blanking. It wasn't Angle. It wasn't Lesnar. Oh, crap. On a crap cracker.
Daniel Pewter? No? Okay.
No, it wasn't him.
Alex Porco?
Huh?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
I'm a total geek at this point.
Well, yeah, it's better than just me, him, and Han here trying to think of what name I just popped in my head and popped out of it.
Yeah. Wasn't Santino an amateur wrestler?
Yeah, he was Ziggler, and so was what's his name, Del Rio.
Oh yeah,
but,
I don't.
Maybe
it's just the character he portrays, but I don't believe Santino could beat anybody in a real fight.
Oh, that's what it is. He's a judo, actually.
Okay.
I believe
gotcha.
That's what, well, and because I think that's why he does do a couple, his, like, hip toss and everything kind of reminds me more of, like, Vladimir Putin, you know,
gotcha.
Judo takedown.
What about Steve Blackman? Does he deserve consideration?
Well, I mean, I think he can. I think he can have his name mentioned.
Sure, and I just did. So there you go, Steve.
Yeah, you've made it on the Stunt Granny way later after your career.
I think this is the first time I've ever mentioned him. I don't know. Probably not, but you know, maybe. So.
Oh, man. I'm out. Like, I'm tapped.
Whatever, we got it.
I can't remember what the fuck I was thinking of.
We got it. You know, we've listed a bunch of people, so that's good enough for me. Mount Rushmore has about 10 or 15 people on it. So, there you go.
Yeah. It's more like the run of presidents rather than a Mount Rushmore, really.
It's like the Republican nomination debate, where they start out with like 8 or 9, you know?
No.
And then they choose the guy who most resembles Judge Snails from Caddyshack to run against Obama. Yeah. Okay.
Judge Snails. Oh, man. Well, I'm not watching any of that, but I will be grabbing myself sippy time beer and maybe watching a little bit of Chopped before I put head to pillow here. So I'm going to just go ahead and get on out of here after that invasion of presidents.
Excellent. Well, for Kevin DeFranco and for Jeremy Mays, who's sitting at home watching the Tigers beating the Yankees 2-0 in the bottom of the 8th, this is Dusty Ebink, and this has been another edition of Stunned Granny Audio, of which we will try to do better next time.